Hi, I'm Isaac Marion, author of the Warm Bodies book series. Well, Brian, Nico, Dustin, and Mike, all I can say is just whatever you do, don't go out there.
In a world where zombies, ghosts, serial killers, and vampires all exist, it's Nico, Brian, Mike, and Dustin, and they are all that stand between you and the films that could end the world. Welcome to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast. Just want to thank all of our fans and listeners. Really appreciate the support. You guys are awesome. Before we get into tonight's film review, just want to give a quick shout out to our website, don'tgooutthere.com. Everything about our podcast is on the website. All of our episodes and interviews, if you want to check those out. We've done some incredible interviews in the past. Go check them out there in a specific tab by themselves so you don't have to scroll through hundreds of episodes on Apple or Spotify, etc. We also have our store if you want to grab a shirt, a mouse pad, a hat, all that good stuff. We'd love to see your pictures, you know, rep your favorite podcast. And Chan's Etsy page is also attached if you want to grab a Tumblr. All of our social media links are on there as well. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Like us, subscribe us, follow us, all that good stuff. And the last thing I want to shout out on our website is our Patreon. We call it Blood Donors. We know we have the traditional monthly reoccurring kind. If you want to support us, help us pay the bills, as we say. Or if you want, if there's a movie you want us to review, that option is available as well. Just check out our website, don'tgooutthere.com. Also, if you haven't noticed, we've recently joined the Believe Network. So there's some ads on our program now. But if you want ad-free content, go check us out on Blood Donors. The ad-free episodes will be available there. We appreciate your support. We hope you enjoy the episode. All right, guys, let's jump into the film review. Hopefully it's not as insane as last week. I'm really excited to review this movie. I hadn't seen it, and I'm not going to steal Dustin's thunder. It was a great pick. Dustin, you want to announce your pick and why you picked it?
Yeah, I picked 1983 Scarface. No, I'm just kidding. I picked 2013's Warm Bodies. So I've said before that horror comedy is my favorite subgenre. It's not anymore these days. I like more serious movies like elevated horror. Really big A24 guy like Brian.
Said fuck you and your elevated horror.
But I still enjoy horror comedies a lot. And this one is one of my favorites. It's a fresh take. It's like a modern slash zombie take on Romeo and Juliet. A lot of parallels there. It's a forbidden love. I love it. The cast is great. And honestly, if you dislike this movie, you just don't like fun. I remember seeing the trailers when it was coming out and I wanted to go watch it in theater, but my fiance at the time, we just never got around to it. And then just like my divorce, it happened years later. I saw the movie years later. And now it's heavily in my rotation. When I want to watch a horror comedy, when I want to enjoy something, watch something fun, I can put this on.
No, Dustin, I really enjoyed this pick. I really hadn't heard much of it. I had seen like maybe some cover arts. That's it. But I was very surprised. Like Teresa Palmer, I really like her in that movie Lights Out. I'm going to pick that movie down the road eventually. I enjoy it. But yeah, I had a good time with it. You know, I read through the IMDb facts and through some comments on YouTube and all that, how this movie does parallel Romeo and Juliet a lot. And whenever we did our mailbag episode, you know, I remember saying like horror comedy month was one of my least favorite just because it's not one of my favorite subgenres. It's just hard for me to get into because like we were talking before we started the show, they try and balance the horror and the comedy and it just doesn't work for me. But this one leans more into the comedy, the lightheartedness, the fun. And I think they execute it well. So I'm looking forward to reviewing it. I like it.
Well, at first, honestly, I didn't care for it all that much. But as the movie went on, it won me over. It won me over with its heart and, honestly, nostalgia. Not nostalgia like it's overdue month with Mike picking a movie from 2021, but nostalgia because this reminded me of a movie that I used to watch back in the early 90s when I was a kid called My Boyfriend's Back with Tracy Lynn and Andrew Lowry about a guy who comes back from the dead as a zombie to win Missy's heart. And I used to love that movie and the OG Buffy with Christy Swanson. And this movie reminded me so much of those. Like, all of them are horror comedies. All of them are rated PG-13. But there's something pure about them all. And I love that. And it 100% includes this one now. Now, comedy-wise, I laughed one time the entire movie. That's just not my sense of humor, I guess. So the movie won me over on story and acting. So I liked it.
Brian, we actually agree. I won't fully go in the thing of it being a horror comedy. And I know that's what it's labeled as. A lot of the comedy is just kind of there for me. It's the story, the heart. It's a good fucking movie. Written really well on a lot of different levels. You mentioned the Romeo and Juliet thing. And I think, you know, obviously that was intentional. It's very true to, you know, star-crossed lovers. But honestly, the cast is awesome. Nicholas Holt, shout out to The Menu, one of my favorite movies in recent memory. Teresa Palmer's great. John Malkovich, Dave Franco, Rob Corddry, who's fucking hot. He's fucking funny, okay? I will give you that. He's fucking great in everything he's in. But yeah, man, just all in all, I think it's a really well-written movie, and I enjoyed it. Like, I'd never seen it before, Dustin, and I'm glad you picked it, man. I'm glad I get to do scene by scene on it, too, because I haven't done scene by scene in a while, and I feel like I owe you guys. So you'll have to do I kind of wish I hadn't in hindsight because I do have some funny thoughts. But that's okay. I'm excited to do the scene by scene.
To be honest with you, buddy, I didn't know if that was intentional or not. Like, I was like, oh, shit, but you were doing it on purpose.
That's how I was. Later in the show, I probably won't.
You mentioned Nicholas Holt. Yeah, shout out to him for being in The Menu, but also shout out to him for being Hank, a.k.a. Beast. I know Brian and I appreciate that, but also I want to say that he's in another horror comedy that I'll be picking down the road called Renfield. Yep. He fucking killed it in that movie. That was such a fun movie. So, yeah, he's quickly becoming one of my favorite actors, actually.
All right, Mike. Unless anybody has any opening thoughts, Mike, you can go ahead and take over the scene by scene.
All right. I'll do my best. I apologize in advance. Here I go. We open with a monologue from our main zombie. He's basically calling himself a friendless loser, but then he realizes, oh, yeah, everyone's dead. He says he doesn't remember his name, and we go around this airport getting to know all the zombies' occupations. We learn that this is post-apocalyptic and that things were better before. We see him interacting with all the different zombies, including two kid zombies on the sidewalk escalators. We cut to him on an abandoned airplane finding a vinyl player. The banger that is Missing You by John Waite, shout out to that fucking song, love it, starts playing. Then we meet his best friend, and all they do is grunt at each other at the airport. That was not on purpose. I can't help it. They grunt at each other at the airport bar. We're outside now, and he's complaining how slow everyone moves. We leave the airport now, and then we come to a military base where we meet our main cast of characters. We hear a patriotic message with instructions on how to handle the zombies when you come across them. We see a full-on skeleton zombie eating the neck out of someone on an apartment building, and then cut back to the military base. And then we get the main cast jabbing back and forth with each other. The zombies we've met come into the room at the base, and an all-out brawl begins with, again, Missing You cranking back up. Our main zombie, R, and his love affection, Julie, lock eyes with each other amidst all the chaos. We learn that eating the brain makes you absorb all the memories of someone, and R says he's sorry, but the brain is the best part. R is trying to utter Julie's name, and then he touches her face and sniffs her. Then he tells her she's safe as she looks at a snow globe. That's all I have for the first set of scenes. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, you guys mentioned Nicholas Holt's second appearance on the show after The Menu. I said it then, but I mean, I think he is super underrated as an actor and has more than held his own in movies over the years up against some of the best to ever do it, including Dustin's hero in Nicolas Cage, one of the goats of the industry.
Oh, fuck off.
But this is the first time I've seen him in a starring role where it's pretty much just him. And I mean, honestly, there's no wonder how he went on to do so much after this. I mean, he really is a strong lead. Now, like I touched on in my opening, it definitely wasn't the opening that sucked me into this movie. I mean, it's totally necessary. It's just not what ended up making me like it. I did like that little ironic joke that director Jonathan Levine led with here. When R's inner monologue is talking about what life must have been like before the plague, when everyone could express themselves and just enjoy each other's company. And then it showed a scene where it's like everybody's walking around just looking at their cell phone. Nobody's actually interacting. So that's about right. I enjoyed the subtext there. But what did stand out to me was how good the sets looked and all of the makeup and the effects. Like when he's explaining the bonies and showing the one zombie ripping his face off. Now, the bonies didn't look great. I mean, the CGI was a little shoddy on that. But everything and everyone else really did look good. Shout out to Lewis Craig and his entire team, Caroline Quinn, all those guys. Caroline Quinn actually worked on X-Men Days of Future Past, my favorite of all the X-Men movies, Sicario and Moonfall. All great. Last thing I'll touch on here that I'll talk about is Teresa Palmer. You guys talked a little bit about. I think she looks a lot like Kristen Stewart to me. Like, I don't think I've ever seen any of Teresa Palmer's work, but she was in 2016's Lights Out, which I haven't personally seen. You guys brought up, and the Point Break remake, which I love, but I like her. Her and Holt have fantastic chemistry, and it comes across on screen for sure.
All right, starting off, I think ours makeup, like you mentioned, Brian, I think it looks great. All the other zombies look great, but I do agree about the bonies. They don't look that great, but all the zombies look great. And this is what I would call hell. Having to work after dying, that is some bullshit. This is subtle and not important, but I feel like the font used for the opening credits, I really liked it. Some might say this opening voiceover runs long, but I enjoy it and its perspective on these type zombies. I like the razzle-dazzle of giving up and becoming a bony as well. The interactions between R and M aren't quite as good as Wake and Winslow, but they're still fun. Every time I see Dave Franco, I can only see and hear Jeff Ross from the James Franco row saying, Dave Franco sounds like his made-up brother. Shout out to Teresa Palmer. I loved her in 2016's Lights Out. Definitely going to be picking that one down the road. Brian, I don't know. It's jump scare heavy. Y'all might like it. Pear, I think, is a terrible nickname and very weird. It's a very weird nitpick. But the man's name is Perry. Don't get lazy on me. Fun action sequence with these zombies, and I really can't fault R for being smitten. Julie is a cutie. How does Perry say, aim for the head, then shoot R in the chest? Come on, dog. Be for real. I like the added touch of eating the person's brain and gaining their memories and feeling human. The I think I love you scene feels really authentic. You know, it reminds me of like my high school days and figuring out love. My guy R has some Ezel in him, stealing Perry's watch. I got a little bit of a laugh out of that. Julie deserves some credit for being a badass lady, right? This was a hell of a knife throw. Fun opening set of scenes. Nothing to complain about for me.
Ezel. I like that reference. Love it.
You know, you mentioned stupid nickname Pear. I didn't have a problem with it, but I kept wanting her to call him Perry the Platypus. You know, sorry. Shout out Phineas and Ferb. I like the open, just thrown into R's life and hearing his thoughts about his surroundings. A great way to catch us up in a hurry with some funny dialogue. Then they do a good job from light and fun to dark to reiterate that it's a very grim situation that the world's in. It's also a good and fresh take on zombies. We usually just see them as mindless brain eaters, but it's cool seeing that these have some cognitive function. Awkwardly funny when R meets up with Rob Cordray and at the bar there and they just kind of stare at each other. That was funny. Very subtle. I think the sanctuary is well done. It's a good job of imagining a camp for the living and what it would be like. Perry, my man, what the hell are you doing? She wants to hold your hand. You hold hands. Look at her. And it's the end of the world. How many other options you got? You got to keep her happy. One thing that I think about often in zombie movies and shows is, you know, they always go and raid the pharmacies, but medicine has a shelf life. Like at some point it loses potency and stops working. Like I wonder how long that Prozac had been sitting there. Anyway, Perry's second boneheaded mistake with Julie after not holding her hand, he completely dismissed her suggestion of bailing and look at him, dead and shit. It was hilarious when R sees Julie and Missing You starts playing. I thought that was a perfect song choice there. It was very funny. Interesting wrinkle that the zombies get the memories and feelings of the brains that they eat. I like that. That's a good added touch. Crazy that Dave Franco got the Emma Roberts treatment from The Hunt. Like he's a big name and boom, gone already. When I saw the credits or saw the cast for this movie, you definitely don't expect a name like that to be really the first one dead. So that was shocking to me. But it's an entertaining open and I love the movie already.
The zombie group leaves the camp to go back outside. The group thinks Julie is just another member of their zombie family. We see the snow globe again because R saved it for Julie. We get Julie crying because she realizes all the people she just knew are gone, or she thought. We get a flashback with Julie and Perry at dinner with Julie's dad, which we find out was the guy from the military instruction video. We're at the start of the zombie apocalypse now, and we see them attack Julie and Perry, where Julie shoots one with a gun. Now we're back in the present. Julie has the knife and wants to know why R saved her as he puts a blanket over her. He tells her not to cry and that she's safe. Julie asks who R is, and we see this interaction lead to R's heart showing a beat as Julie falls asleep. Julie wakes up and is hangry as hell. No humans for her, though. She needs real food. R is stupidly tricked by this, and Julie escapes the plane they were on. R catches her and tells her not to run as a group of zombies are starting to roam nearby. We see Julie invoking a very offensive zombie stereotype, by the way. That's fucked up. I mean, they're not just walking brain dead out here. Anyway, Julie finally finds food, and she seems to come back to her senses. My wife does the same thing, Julie. She ends up with a fruit cocktail and a Corona, the breakfast of champions. Julie is guessing R's name now as we see a friendly interaction between the two, as Julie states she wants to go home. Julie says that she's never heard a corpse talk before as the two smile at each other, and she wonders what she's supposed to do around here for a few days. Go ahead, Brian.
So a little fun fact here at the start of this, when R returns to the airport with Julie, for the first time after the raid at that lab, an automated announcement in the background could be heard saying, "The white zone is for loading and unloading of passengers only." This is actually taken from Airplane from 1980. Hot take. I don't really like Airplane. It's just, I never really found it funny. But, man, him eating that brain, R eating that brain, was just absolutely disgusting. Like, the only thing I could find on it was that it was basically a soggy sponge cake. But even Holt was grossed out with it. And he said, you know, he actually struggled to stomach it. He told JustJared.com that the human brain was like a peach, soft, wet, spongy sort of thing, and then bits of grapefruit and stuff in it. It was really rough, he said. But then I remember one take where the dummy's hair was kind of getting ripped out of my hand, and then I had to pretend to eat the brains, obviously. I remember taking out the brains and seeing all the dummy's hair in the brains, and I was like, ugh. I had to get that take in, so I was like, just do it, just do it. And I munched on them and ate all of that fake hair as well. So it's great for your digestive system. And I know that was a lot, but I thought that was an interesting quote and nice little insight there. So that's all I had on this set of scenes. The next set of scenes is where the movie really starts to win me over with the heart. Like, I know you guys mentioned it a lot, of parallels to Romeo and Juliet, and all the characters' names, R and J, the rest of them. And maybe you guys will get into it during fun facts or later. But again, my mind just goes back to that early 90s and my boyfriend's back. And look, maybe I'm not proud of that per se, but, you know, the car ride right here at the start of the next set of scenes is kind of where this whole thing really starts coming together and working for me particularly.
Brian, I agree 100%. Airplane sucks. I did like Police Academy, though. I watched both of those back to back one night. But these zombies, they're so dumb. Like, how can they not tell Julie isn't a zombie? They need to eat some more brains, I guess. Great job of acting fearful by Teresa Palmer in such a weird, horrifying scenario being held hostage on this plane. And what an awkward dinner for Perry, Jesus. Grigio says, "Don't work for your dad, work on the wall instead." That man must love Julie for sticking around. Julie gives some stern reassurance to Perry, but does lighten up some, thankfully, about his father coming back. Well, so much for the reassurance. Finding out your pops is a zombie, then watching your girlfriend shoot him, that has to be a lot to process. And while Dustin did mention about, you know, he kind of got the Emma Roberts treatment, at least we get to see some more Dave Franco throughout the movie. I like this flashback with how it confirms to R why Julie is fearful of him. This movie has a great soundtrack, and I thought it was really cool seeing his heartbeat. Love can bring a dead man back to life, perhaps, is the message. I really like that. R teaches us menfolk a very valuable lesson. Food is how you make a lady happy. Oh, never mind. She took off on him. Shake my damn head. R is infatuated with this lady. She tries to run away, gets stuck between a rock and a hard place, and he saves her again. I almost want to call him a simp, but he's a zombie. What else can you do? I bet that's the best fruit cocktail she's ever had, though. I remember the peaches and the cherries being elite from eating that when I was a jit. And I got a hot take here. Corona is disgusting. Give me a land shark anytime. Nicholas Holt deserves his props for this role. He does a great job as a zombie slowly becoming a human again. Dustin, I thought it was more fun scenes, man. I'm liking it.
Hell yeah, brother. I like that R has a, quote, home, and he picks up decorations for it, like the snow globe. Again, this is just a very fresh take on zombies. It's wild that R keeps eating Perry's brain to get to know Julie. Man's pulling out all the stops. Ladies, if a man wants to, he will. Never accept less than maximum effort. Julie's look of confusion was funny when R put the record on. His riz is working. The look in his chest, into his chest as his heartbeat, that was great. Subtle hint that things could be fixed. very predictable that she'd bolt as soon as he left, and just as predictable that she'd be fucked when she tried. I laughed when he was teaching her how to act dead. That was funny. Nico, what you were saying, how do they not know that she's not dead? Like, I can't wait for you to watch The Walking Dead on the spinoff, DGOT, the series. That's my pick. Spoiler is for the next show we review is Walking Dead season one. I don't think they do it in season one. Maybe they do. I can't remember. But later in the show, at least, they cover themselves with blood and guts, and that masks the smell. They don't do it nearly enough in this movie. I agree with you. Like, just a smidgen of blood on her cheek is enough. Now, in The Walking Dead, they go all out, like cover head to toe. And that makes sense. Like, that makes a lot of sense. That probably smells like 8 cans of shark shit. But overall, though, it's another solid set of scenes.
Just a walk like Frankenstein. Like, that was going to fucking work the fuck out of my face.
Anyway. That shit was so funny, though. But he was like, too much. Too much.
The two have now hopped in a car, and they're going for a joyride, which is already better than the movie Joyride. We see Julie having a great time feeling normal while R struggles to get the hang of it like a new teenager. She's teaching him how to drive as they pass the two kids from earlier until he crashes into another car. Julie is eating more canned fruit, and R, even in this zombie state, is a music snob and says fuck iPods in favor of vinyls. A fucking banger, Hungry Heart from Bruce Springsteen, starts to play as Julie and R begin goofing around, trying on different sunglasses and playing patty cake with each other. We see a progression of time as Julie gets bored reading and playing games. We see them sleeping next to each other, and then we see R's best friend hear what's going on from outside the plane. I didn't know his name yet, so you have to forgive me. Julie asks if her boyfriend will come back as a zombie, and then tells R that a lot of things happened to him. He plays Bob Dylan on the vinyl, and he puts his hand on both of their hearts as R eats flesh now that she's asleep. We see a flashback of Perry joining the army and then cut back to what happened back at the base. R spits out his human snack and feels bad about what happened. We see Julie surrounded by the group of zombies with a chainsaw as R jumps in to help her. R's best friend says they need to eat Julie, and we see the skeleton zombie again as the chase scene begins. We see them surrounded by more skeleton zombies, and best friend actually saves the day, even though Julie is hesitant to go along with him. They're back being confronted by more zombies as the two hold hands because Julie is scared and trusts R. This causes the zombies to move out of the way and they make their way into a car. Julie whips out and drives away from all the zombies. It's pouring outside and they're driving in a convertible. That fucking sucks. They pull up to the last neighborhood that her dad evacuated and bust in a house to look for food. Go ahead, Nico.
All right, so I like this set of scenes, but I definitely have the most nitpicks in it. And starting off with a nitpick, if she has a car, why not escape now? Why are you waiting for a few days? Teaching him to drive is cool, but I thought that was kind of bad writing to put that here and personally. And another nitpick, I read that this is 8 years after the apocalypse. I'm not sure if the gas in his vehicle would still be good. You know, that was kind of one of my complaints in the Texas Chainsaw 22 movie with the, but then again, that was like, what, 70 years? You know, Mike loves that movie, not me. But anywho, oh, and fuck you, buddy, about Joyride. Fun montage scene with the two.
Hey, fuck you too, buddy. Fuck you too.
Fun montage scene of the two interacting, playing games. I did enjoy that. And I forgot to mention this earlier, but it's insane behavior. Berg was playing phone games during an important mission. We as a society are addicted to phones. We got to do better. My Joey Swole voice. Julie with the weed whacker reminds me of my guy Superhuman getting hit with the weed whacker stunt. Whoop, whoop. Julie is frustrating me. I understand she wants to leave, but just ask R. Cut this malarkey out, leaving out of the blue and getting saved. This annoys me more than it should, honestly. M being able to talk is a little bit of a nitpick too. Earlier, he could only grunt, but he can talk now. I understand they're becoming human again, but the film insinuates it was R catching feelings for Julie that revived him. Why is M becoming human? What sparked it? I guess I was being a hypocrite earlier. I wrote the look of the bonies is great, and I love M running them over out of nowhere, so I guess I was lying earlier. It's so unique seeing zombies not being blood-hungry creatures and allowing R and his girl pass by. I like this fresh take. It's how you do the same genre, but make it feel refreshing. Awesome, groovy soundtrack playing as the convertible drives in the rain. And like I mentioned, there's some nitpicks, but it's still a fun set of scenes. I'm still having a good time.
All right. I like the joyride scene, and it was perfect that he wrecked. I mean, what other outcome could there have been? They pulled into a fucking parking garage. And then when she says, What's with all the vinyl? As someone who owns over 50 albums on vinyl, go to hell, lady. It sounds better. He's right. Sounds better. Big pet peeve, though, continuously in this movie, they keep placing the needle at almost the end of the record, and it keeps playing at the beginning of a song. I call bullshit. There's no way that they're that lucky. Anyway, their little date sequence was fun. Even though it was filler, nothing in this movie drags or seems like a waste. The pacing is great. It served a purpose to further the feeling that he's in love with her and she trusts him. So that little montage was good. Big oh shit moment when Julie wanders off again and R has to come in and save her. And then they have to run from the bonies. That was great. When Rob Corddry shows up and runs the three of them over, fucking hilarious. It was the highlight of this set of scenes, which was another great one.
All right. Now they're walking around the house and Julie catches R with an unnecessary Polaroid bomb. Don't do that, ladies. That's unnecessary. He's not in the right frame of mind to have his picture taken right here. She says it's important to preserve memories, especially now that the world is on its way out. I like that line a lot. She has R take a picture of her after quoting her ex, and then we see R reading a tabloid as Julie says she's going to bed. She tells him he can sleep in there on the floor. Gee, thanks. And R obliges. We see his best friend back at the zombie headquarters, and he has a flashback looking into glass and sees him holding hands with someone in the before times. We see his heart beating as he asks another zombie if he feels it. We see the skeleton zombies come up behind them and start screaming in their faces. We're back at the house with R and Julie, and she notices her dad outside. She realizes that he would have just killed R. Julie says her clothes are wet, and she gets down to her undies. Call me sometime. And then Julie wants to know if R has to eat people. Sorry, man. She calls out his human side and calls him a good person because he tries to be better. This causes R to finally tell her that he was the one that ate Perry. She says she figured as much and rolls over. We see a daydream sequence where R walks up to Julie, Perry, and their friend. Perry says zombies can't dream. Julie asks Dream R what he wants to be. Perry tells him he has no chance after telling her he ate her ex. R, quote unquote, wakes up from his dream and leaves the house and Julie behind. Julie leaves and goes after him in the car and it runs out of gas. Julie then walks back to the base to find her dad. Her dad thought he lost her and Julie hugs him and then walks back in to the base camp. Go ahead, Nico.
Mike, I'm 100% with you. I agree 100%, Julie. It's important to take pictures and save the memories because, unfortunately, sometimes pictures is all you have of somebody. I love seeing the zombies' hearts light up in their chest. I thought that was a great shot. However, that's a part of one of my qualms I mentioned earlier. M sees the couple holding hands, and he and the other zombie feel themselves coming back. I don't think he should have been able to talk as early as he did and as well as he did, personally. I wish he would have just kept making the grunt noises and R just knew what he meant just because of their relationship. And I wrote LOL at R and the holy shit as she undresses. Was it inappropriate to keep looking? Maybe, but I laughed. We get a nice, sincere moment from Julie saying R is a good person. But why is she mad that he ate Perry's brains? He's a zombie. He's just trying to survive. And it's not like you didn't see it. There's no way she didn't see it. Beautiful color and lighting out in these row of apple trees. I think it's a nice transition from the somewhat bleak look we've had. I don't think Dave Franco is a bad actor. And it might just be the writing, but does he seem kind of flat with his line delivery? Or was that just me? And damn, this is kind of expected, but Julie dips again. I'd feel crushed too, but the song playing along, I really liked it. It went crazy. Go ahead, Dustin.
The look on his face when she took his picture was funny, as was the fact that he was reading a People magazine with Kim K on the cover. That was funny. It worked, though. She done invited my man to bed. Attaboy. Good news for her, though. I think that rigor mortis is already set in. No need to worry. Back to the pack of zombies. Look, I liked earlier seeing R's heartbeat, but that's because they took us into his chest for that. I don't like seeing their heartbeat through their clothing like that. I don't know. It's a little too cheesy for me, but it's a minor nitpick. It didn't take away from it. Then she gets naked with R right there. He's got to teach me his ways, man. He's dead. But then he fucks it up. Don't tell her you killed Perry. She didn't need to know that. Not getting in that bed now, bucko. Like, talk about just a boneheaded move. I like that R dreamt. Great sign that things are improving for him even more. But he shouldn't have done that. Now she's gone like a freight train, gone like yesterday. Talk about exercising.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Did I stutter? Did I misspeak?
No, that's me. I stutter. You quote country music. That's what you do.
That was a country music reference? I don't know. I'm just speaking from the heart. Talk about exercising extreme caution. Her dad treated his daughter or treated Julie like a stranger. No compassion at all. Sheesh. This is a stone cold, like the greater good is more important than family kind of guy. Solid set of scenes yet again.
R is walking around and begins to feel cold and other human emotions. He runs into his best friend and asks if he's okay. And he says, bitches, man. And then he says the bonies are after him. He tells R that he's seen memories and says they're going to be okay. R shows them a picture of Julie and references the Exhum line from the dream. Rock you like a hurricane starts to kick up randomly, and they go back and find more zombies. R says him and Julie gave the others hope and that he has to find her because the bonies are moving fast. He catches a glimpse of himself and realizes that he's looking a little more human these days. We see Julie and Nora talking to each other. Julie is trying to explain that not all corpses are the same and tells her that she actually misses R. We see what is basically a scene out of Romeo and Juliet. This is straight ripped. Julie and R see each other again. She calls him crazy and that the others would kill him. Nora meets R and says, sup. I like that line. I thought it was funny. The two hug after Julie lets him in and they say they miss each other. Julie tells R he feels warmer than she remembers. Nora is asking R a bunch of questions like he's being interviewed, and R tells Julie that he came here to show everyone that things are changing. He reveals that other zombies are also dreaming. Julie says they have to go talk to her dad. Nora and Julie recommend a makeover with makeup, and then Pretty Woman starts to play. Great song. We see R taking a shower with the two of them, fixing him up to look a lot more human. Nora says that R looks hot. See, if Julie doesn't work out, you got Nora right there in your back pocket. R, you're going to be all right. We see the three of them walking around the camp, and Julie tells R that he looks nice. R is starting to sound more human. He says no matter what, they stay together, and Julie agrees. This man tries to stop them, but R seems just human enough to get through the guard. Go ahead, Nico.
All right, my man R is down horrendous. I feel bad for my bro. He lost his life and his girl. Jeez. A lady surprised her car is out of gas. Never seen this before. Joking. I like this panaway overhead shot. It really shows how alone and abandoned everything is now. And I respect how dedicated Kevin is ensuring Julie is uninfected. No exceptions, even if you're the colonel's daughter. As a dad, I'm sure Grigio's got to feel so much relief having his baby girl make it back safely. As R walks in the cold rain, I really wish a My Chemical Romance song played. How perfect would that have been, Mike? You know that would have went hard. That would have been crazy. Hell bitches, yeah. Man. Like you mentioned, Mike, bitches, man. That caught me so off guard, and I laughed way harder than I should have at that scene. I love how sincere this conversation is, and M drops the smoothest, fuck yeah, love it. The upbeat rock song as the group walks towards the wall kicks a lot of ass. It's a great visual. Damn, Grigio, R finesse his ass into the wall pretty easily, man. What kind of operation you running around here? You need to tighten the security around here. Nora is a fun friend and character. She's a good balance for Julie in the movie. I don't know if I really believe Nora can hear this conversation that well, but it is a good realization face that it's R down there when she sees him. And LOL at Nora questioning his age. He's got one of those baby faces. I chuckled. I'm not going to lie. Is this the first makeup scene since House of Wax? Pretty Woman. Instantly think of the one comedy goats, Dumb and Dumber. But I will say M83 by Midnight City. It goes way harder. I love that song. If I was R walking through this city, my butt cheeks would be clenched tight enough to crack a pecan shell. How does Nora get past them guards, but the colonel's own daughter couldn't? It's not a nitpick or anything, but I just thought that was kind of wild. Fun set of scenes again. I'm looking forward to the end.
Corpses don't get cold. That's another great shirt idea for don'tgooutthere.com. Bitches, man. I know you guys already said it, but bitches, man. Damn near made me spit my sweet tea out. That was so unexpected. Just great. Perfectly delivered. Dreaming about cream of wheat. That's the kind of stuff that gets old man Brian excited. I know he loved that. He can relate. Great use of the one F word. They said, fuck yeah. I love it. That was fantastic. Good little banner between the girls in Julie's room. And then a perfect Romeo and Juliet parallel. She's on the balcony. He's down below. Her family wants to kill him. Very spot on. Zombie makeover is funny as hell, especially to Pretty Woman. Nico, I'm going to kind of echo you. I was upset when she changed the song, but man, Midnight City is a fucking banger. Perfect song. It sets us up nicely, and I'm ready to see what the ending has.
All right. Julie is talking to her dad, and her dad is trying to tell her the zombies are attacking them and tells her to get somewhere safe. Julie is trying to explain to him that the dead are coming back to life and curing themselves. Her dad tells her that's not happening and they are only food to them. R comes out and tries to convince her dad that it's okay and that the zombies are feeling again. Her dad pulls a gun on R and then tells, and then Nora pulls a gun on her dad. R and Julie get away, and Nora says she will definitely shoot Julie's dad. We see Julie and R run away, and then they meet up with a group of zombies that are feeling again. M says they are ready for a fight, and so the bonies show up and begin to chase them all down. We see a long chase scene, as now Julie and R are being chased by the bonies and the human military. The bonies and military are trying to kill each other as the normal zombie reaches out a hand to help one of the human military members. The military walks up on a different breed of zombies fighting each other and are as confused as to who to shoot and kill. I thought that was hilarious. The military, Julie's dad, and corpses and skeletons are fighting each other. The sun is out now, and R and Julie are chased to a ledge. R vows to keep her safe as they jump off the ledge and into a pool of water. The two are okay, and they end up kissing each other as she notices life is coming back to R's pupils. Her dad shoots R in the shoulder and notices that R is bleeding. The military realizes that Julie was right because corpses don't bleed. The general says, let's get you two the hell out of here. We hear a closing monologue from R about how getting shot hurt, and now the bonies are dead. The corpses are learning to live again. We see humans and corpses interacting with each other, and then we see M finally say his name as a woman opens an umbrella for him in a hilarious scene that I can't do any justice. Julie says that R can give himself a name, and he says, I like R. The two snuggle as the sunset and the wall between the two worlds crumble. Go ahead, Nico.
I got a decent amount, so just bear with me. Grigio, I think he does a great job of staying serious throughout this encounter with Julie. And when he says they're not becoming vegan, they don't eat broccoli, I got a good laugh out of that. R is serious, though. This took some bravery to get face-to-face with the colonel. And Nora is extremely brave pulling the gun on the colonel. I'm honestly surprised that he still didn't shoot R, though, to be honest. Great scene with Julie seeing the army of corpses as coming back to life. More great acting by Teresa Palmer. And M is a ride-or-die friend, letting R and Julie escape while they fight off the majority of the bonies. And holy shit, Julie is a damn marksman. Great shooting as she's running away. Some might find that, you know, hokey or unbelievable, but I just had fun with it. Zombie killing the bonies with the fire hydrant was cool. We need more fire hydrant kills in horror. Come on, Art the Clown and Damian Leone. I know Dustin can't wait. M is hilarious, man. Him saying hi and hey to every soldier walking by, that got a chuckle out of me. I love that R used his body as a shield for Julie as they plunge into the pool of water, but there's no way they don't hit the bottom way harder. That water wasn't that deep. Nothing will ruin a makeout session quite like a bullet to the shoulder. Jeez, Pops. I think this was a good way to prove he's alive, showing him bleeding in the water. Does it hurt, LMAO? Yeah, I bet that's the first time in history someone's happy to feel pain from being shot. I gotta say, there's not enough urgency getting my man R some first aid. I mean, he is alive, we've determined. And I know Mike will appreciate this line. The Goo Goo Doll said it best, R. Yeah, you bleed just to know you're alive.
That's right, pal.
We've said many times in the past on this show how a movie can be so good, then the ending stink. Well, I'm pleased to say Warm Bodies has a very good ending. Love seeing the zombies readjusting back to life. Hobbies, sports, games, M finding romance again. And like you mentioned, Mike, I really love that scene. Marcus opening the umbrella. I got zombie hands. I think you're pretty. Now is when you tell me I'm pretty. I love the ending with Julie and R enjoying the view of the wall coming down, embracing their romance. Very good film, Dustin. Very happy you picked it, and I watched it.
Yeah. So Julie's dad is such a hard-ass man. He does not care what Julie has to say. He only cares about the perceived greater good. That would be tough to do, to separate and, you know, not listen to your daughter, to just, you know, take a higher road there. John Malkovich is so good, though. Loved his monologue here. And went about as well as could be expected, though. He was never going to buy it, and it was tense when he pulled the gun on R. Great moment when the corpse saved the soldier from the bony. That's a great advocate to have in their quest to get the humans on their side. Rob Cadre, again, fighting the bony and then greeting the soldiers one by one as they walk past him. That was another great moment. He's by far the best character in the movie. Great tension when R jumps in the water to save Julie, and we think that he died again because he hit his head on the bottom. Then, look at this. A zombie gets the girl when I can't even get a text back. Cold world. Great character development of Julie's dad to show that he's not a bad guy. He just had to protect the whole population, and, you know, he's not cold-hearted. We find out that Rob Cowdery's character's name is Marcus, and Marcus has one last funny moment before we leave. That was fantastic. Nico, you nailed the quotes there. I laughed. Nice. We get a great feel-good ending here. So good that you can almost forgive that the cure to being a zombie is compassion, I guess. Okay, no, I can't. I can't forgive that. That's lame, to be honest with you. But I still love the movie regardless. It doesn't hurt it that much for me.
I think it's a nice, fresh take.
It is, but I mean, come on, man. No vaccine, no nothing that they have to do to reverse it. It's just, hey, treat them like they're actual humans and their heart will still start beating again. That's a come the fuck on.
I think, you know, the overlying message is treat others how you want to be treated. You know, not yeah. every, you know, no differences between us. I think that's the message, at least.
But this is a PG-13 movie, not a PG-5 movie. That's a principle you're taught when you're 5 years old. Grow up.
Oh, man. I was going to make a Great Wall of China joke at Nico's expense, but I won't.
Oh. Appreciate that.
Goddamn Mongolians.
All right, Mike, you want to knock out Twitter?
Oh, yeah, sure. Brandon is in JustB_510. Says elite in the quote tweet, so I'll take that.
Yep.
And then Mookie @Boomer_T1 ain't seen this movie since I was in the military and they showed it to us on deployment at least once a week. I hate this movie hugely. At first it was okay, but after watching it all the time, nah, movie sucks. And whoever ran this account said, fair enough.
That had to be Nico. But I'm going to say,
that's all I have.
It's not fair enough. I'm just going to stop. Only part of his comment that I'm going to read is when he said at first it was okay. So he thinks it's okay. That's fair. So man. I did have one person reply. I posted on my personal Instagram that we're covering this movie. I had a reply to it that I'll read as a question. My guy Sean asked, is John Cena, does he appear in the movie? To which I have to reply, you know, maybe, but we couldn't see him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
fair enough.
Man, I want to see that one new R-rated comedy with him. Anyway.
I got three. So if you want to do yours, I'll do whatever I have left.
I'm probably about to steal one of them, but I mean, we got to read this
guys,
one.
Hey, guys, I remember the budget before you guys can make a fucking joke.
Fucking right, in preparation. In preparation for their roles as zombies, the cast and extras went through zombie camp, where they learn how to move and react as walking corpses. I think Julie needs to go redo the test because she was terrible acting like a zombie.
So I just got a couple now. First one, this is also, if you didn't know, because I don't think any of us mentioned it, this movie is based on the book by the same name, but the story is significantly different. So don't just think this is a direct adaptation. And then last one I have is that the actors portraying the zombies in this film chose not to blink. It was particularly uncomfortable for Nicholas Holt, who did a few long scenes without blinking. And then later in the movie, when the zombies start to become more human, we see that the zombies start blinking. I think that's a very nice, subtle touch.
I agree.
All right. This movie had an estimated budget of $35 million and grossed an estimated $67 million between the U.S. and Canada, opening to $20 million worldwide on opening weekend.
Hey, not nice. Bad at all.
Oh, hell all no. Right.
All right, guys, let's jump to our favorite kill, least favorite kill, and the rating. I'll just kick us off, Dustin. Favorite kill, I'll go with the fire hydrant kills just because, you know, I want to see Art the Clown do that as well. No, I'm kidding. Perry is my favorite kill, getting his brains and all that. Hey, that was cool. Least favorite kill, I mean, you can just pick any of them, of the zombies that just get shot or the bonies that just get shot in the head. You know, nothing crazy there. I pretty much made myself clear throughout the review. I had a great time with this movie. Did I have some nitpicks throughout? Maybe they did some things a little too early, a little too unbelievable. You know, just, you know, nothing crazy, but some qualms I did have. Nicholas Holt, fantastic. Teresa Palmer was great. John Malkovich, the actress who played Nora, can't remember her name, but she was great as well. I gave the movie an 8, Dustin. I really enjoyed it. I had a great time with it. I would watch it again any day.
Hell yeah, brother. Let me go ahead and do mine, and then Mike, you go, and then I'll read Brian's to do the composite. So, if that's okay. My favorite kill was also Perry because, you know, it was cool seeing him get eaten and everything. But also my least favorite kill was Perry. Not because of the kill, But it was kind of upsetting to me that Dave Franco had such a brief. I mean, I know we see him in the flashbacks and stuff, but I don't know, man. I like Dave Franco. I think I would have wanted to see him more in this movie. As far as my closing thoughts and my score, look, it's not perfect, but I love it. There's some stuff I don't like, such as the look at the beating hearts through the shirts, like I mentioned, the look of the bonies, the CGI was bad. And like I said, the fact that the cure makes no goddamn sense at all, but it's still fun as hell. I give the movie an admittedly biased 8.75. Now, side note, I think there was a huge missed opportunity to call the new settlement Piney. Hear me out. Their last name is Grigio. Grigio made me think of Pinot Grigio. Pinot translates to pine cone. So Piney, like, it just, that would have been fun. Anyway, yeah, that was probably corny, but oh well, sue me. Go ahead, Mike.
My favorite kill was also Perry, because really the only one that had anything to it as far as, you know, effects and stuff. So I thought that was cool, and they did a good job with it. My least favorite is any, you know, pick your, you know, your random zombie. But although I did like the way the bonies looked when they were shot. I thought that was cool. Even though, like Brian mentioned, CGI was kind of rough. Look, all in all, I think this is a fucking fun movie, man. From start to finish, I'm never bored. I'm really into the story. And yeah, I mean, there's some good moments of humor, especially as you talk about it and look back at it. But in the moment, I was so caught up in the story and how good it was, I almost forgot to laugh. And honestly, I'm about to, not that he needs my fucking help, but I'm about to hype up William Shakespeare here, because this is a tale as old as time. Romeo and Juliet works no matter how you fucking tell it. As long as it's shot well and the acting's good, you can tell Romeo and Juliet. And I think I've told Dustin this. He may have laughed at me, but that Leo DiCaprio Romeo and Juliet's one of my favorite guilty pleasures, brother. That is good, good shit. I love it. And so I love any telling of Romeo and Juliet. And I think they did a good job here. Lion King 2 as well. Anyway, all the, you know, great acting. Love the way it was shot. I thought the zombies looked good. All right, Nico, listen here, pal. I should out you in front of the world right now. I won't, but I will instead. We're in this together and give this movie an 8. Heyo.
All right. So, brother Brian had to drop off. He's got the COVID-19 virus. And so he's not going to, obviously, if you listen to this, you notice he jumped off. But he did send his score. I don't have his closing thoughts, favorite kills, all that. But he did give the movie a flat 7. That gives us a composite score of a 7.9375. IMDb has it at a 6.8. Rotten Tomatoes has it at an 81%.
I like Rotten Tomatoes better there. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's get it.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining me on my journey to review Warm Bodies. I appreciate you guys. Thanks to all the fans and listeners. I said thanks to you guys. Oh, you want to do it? Go ahead. Fuck me then.
You're joining me on my journey, and I'm like, I'm here too.
No, it's because it's my pick, asshole.
I was kidding, man. Relax.
No, you know what? Fuck it. All right, guys, that's it for this episode. Thank you all for joining us on my pick, 2013's Warm Bodies. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I do. Shout out to all our blood donors. I don't have the list of names here, but you know who you are, and we appreciate you immensely.
Absolutely.
Next week, we're going to be doing one of our blood donors' picks. It is Pitch Black, starring Vin Diesel. So expect plenty of
family
references. But yeah, be sure to check out the website, don'tgooutthere.com. I just stuttered. No mic. And we'll catch you next week.
It's contagious like this virus.
Just want to remind everybody.